This is Jeff Young, the Catholic Foodie at CatholicFoodie.com, and you're listening to episode 197 of the Catholic Foodie Podcast, Chef John Besh and Cooking Good. Welcome, folks, to the Catholic Foodie Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Young, and in this episode, we're talking about some of the good things that can come from cooking. And I'm not talking just about the yummy food that you find on your plates. Of course, good food comes from good cooking, but I'm referring here specifically to the good that comes to communities and to families through the art and science of cooking. Chef Ronald Green joins us later on the show today to talk about a special scholarship opportunity for young chefs in New Orleans called Chef's Move, which is provided by the Chef John Besh Foundation. So stay tuned to hear how goodness has been brought into the life of Chef Ronald Green and the local New Orleans community through food and cooking. That's right, you're listening to the Catholic Foodie Podcast right here where food meets faith. I'm very excited about today and the guest that we're going to have on the show in just a little while, Chef Ronald Green, who is actually up in New York. I had the privilege of speaking with him last week on the phone, and I'm going to share that conversation with you a little bit later today. Now, as we start the show today, I want to catch you up on a few newsworthy items regarding the Catholic Foodie. You know, it's been a very busy few months for me between my usual work, promoting my book, and some speaking engagements and book signings. You know, if you recall, my book, Around the Table with the Catholic Foodie, Middle Eastern Cuisine, hit the shelves back in November, and several book launch events kicked off between the release of the book and Christmas. And then I took a few weeks off after Christmas before resuming promoting the book. But since then, I have spoken at a few events and held book signings and even participated in an online Catholic conference for moms. So I want to highlight four of those events for you right here. You know, on Valentine's Day, I had the privilege of speaking on food and faith in the Diocese of Memphis at the Our Lady Queen of Peace Retreat Center. And that was just a delight. It was such a joy to be there. You know, attending that night was my good friend, Father Mike Workhoven, who celebrated Mass for us, and several of the folks who joined me on the first Food Meets Faith pilgrimage to the Holy Land back in February of 2014. As a matter of fact, we had something of a reunion in Memphis the night before. It was such a joy to see everyone and to share memories from that life-changing trip. And I have to tell you that the weekend was extra special for me since I was able to have my wife accompany me. That made Valentine's Day all the more special. Really, Valentine's weekend. We got to leave the kids here with family and got to have a little weekend alone. So that was awesome. And, you know, we came back that weekend. It was actually the big Mardi Gras weekend, right? The Mardi Gras, as you probably have heard me talk about, is not just a day. We refer to Mardi Gras day, but it's really kind of a season. Some folks like to call it carnival season. Down here in New Orleans, you'll hear people say it's Mardi Gras season or carnival season, whatever. But really, the parades, the big parades span over 2 weeks down here. And so that weekend right before Mardi Gras, which this year happened to be Valentine's Day weekend, that weekend is when some of those big, big parades roll in New Orleans. And this year, as has happened three times now in the last 5 years, Lino Rulli, the Catholic guy on Sirius XM's The Catholic Channel, decided to come back down to New Orleans to be right here in the middle of the big party, right? To broadcast his shows live from Mardi Gras on Monday and Tuesday of that week. And then following Mardi Gras, going into Ash Wednesday, continuing to stay here in New Orleans and to broadcast his show. So though it's not directly related to my book, this event allowed me to highlight the connection between food and faith. And, you know, Lino has become a friend of mine over the last few years. And it was just such a delight to spend some time with him, both on the air and off. I was honored to join him on Monday and Tuesday of that week, the days that we call down here Lundi Gras, which is Fat Monday, and Mardi Gras, of course, is Fat Tuesday. Now, this year, we wanted to take a different approach. You know, the first time he came to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, they actually had a hotel room. They broadcasted from a hotel room on Bourbon Street in the middle of Mardi Gras, right? They had a balcony out there, and they had the balcony open. You could hear all the craziness outside as he broadcasted his shows. When he came back last year, I believe he was here. We broadcasted from the Irish House downtown on St. Charles Avenue, one of the day on Mardi Gras Day itself. And Lino actually was able to he rode at a parade, believe it or not, one of the biggest parades that there is during Carnival, which is Rex. The Rex Parade rolls on Mardi Gras morning, and he actually got to ride in that last year. So this year he wanted to take a different approach, and we wanted to be more family oriented, family friendly. And so we broadcasted from St. Stephen's School, which is on Napoleon Avenue, right there on the parade route, with some of the parades pass right by. So there was a lot of fun. Monday we broadcasted from there. And then on Tuesday, Mardi Gras Day, we actually broadcasted from Notre Dame Seminary, and we had some of the seminarians join us. Now, I have to tell you, as the Catholic foodie, right, my job was to feed Lino. Now, if you know anything about Lino Ruhle, you know that he is probably one of the pickiest eaters on the planet. And my job was to have him sample several of our local Cajun and Creole dishes. So as you can well imagine, feeding Lino Ruhle boiled crabs, crawfish, shrimp, Cajun boudin, hogshead cheese, and a bunch of other stuff made for some very entertaining radio. We had a ball. We did. We had a ball. And I'm going to play a little snippet right here from one of the shows. This is actually from when I was trying to get Lino to taste the very first thing, and it was boiled crabs. Now, this is about a 5-minute clip, and it's a lot of fun. It's hysterical, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. And then we'll come back after that and talk more about food and faith. I grew up, I hated eating boiled crabs because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work for a little bit of meat.
Okay.
You know, it's not like a crawfish. You can peel and eat them just boom, 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 one after the other. A crab takes time. And if you don't like eating shell, you got to be very attentive to what you're doing.
Well, who likes eating shell? Is there somebody I've never met that's like, oh, you know what I enjoy really? It's not so much the meat. It's the shell that I like to eat.
Now, when you're eating out in a restaurant and you get a piece of shell in some dish you've ordered that has crab meat in it, that's a good thing because it shows you that they're using real crab.
No, it's right? a bad thing because it means they don't know what they're doing. I mean, you don't want to. You want bone and shell and that kind of thing. Am I crazy?
Oh, it's probably good for you. I don't know. But the crab that's broken open here, you can see the shell. Matter of fact, the lump crab meat is well protected, and so it takes a lot of work to get to that. But right over here, you see this yellow stuff.
Yeah,
right?
it looks like
yellow stuff.
Bile.
Right, yellow stuff and orange stuff. My wife is very careful. She picked only female crabs to bring to us today because the female crabs tend to have more fat in them, and that is the yellow stuff.
Wait a second. That's Jeff Young. That's the Catholic foodie. Hey, Lino Ruhle's not saying
this
anything.
We're talking crabs here.
That sounded sexist. Well, the women have more fat. Listen, I didn't say anything like that. I don't support what he's saying. It makes me crazy when you say things.
And they have eggs. The eggs are here too. So here's the thing: the flavor's in the fat.
I'm pro life. I'm not going to eat those.
That goes for anything, you know. The flavor is in the fat, and so when you have a boil, like boiled crawfish or boiled crabs, they're in a water, but it's a water that's seasoned, and it's well seasoned. You got salt in there, you got cayenne, you got black pepper, you may have garlic, lemon, things like that. And as it soaks in that water, even after it finishes cooking, right, you boil it only for a short period of time, then it soaks, and when it soaks up all of the seasoning. And so the fat in these crabs, that's where the flavor really is in that fat.
I have to say that, you know, the word Catholic means universal. And one of the beauties of the Catholic Guy Show being on the road is I see the universality of the church and the way we celebrate faith. And right now, people are celebrating today and tomorrow this lead up to Lent. people are celebrating in a variety of ways.
Right.
It, you know, it's Fat Tuesday in French tomorrow, Mardi Gras. That's what Mardi Gras means, Fat Tuesday. But around the world, in Venice, it's Carnival, right?
That's right.
And in Brazil, they're having their Carnival, yeah, where they're saying goodbye to meat, basically.
That's right. That's right.
And so I know that the Catholic celebration of Feast Before Fast happens, but I'm going to be a crab right now if I eat all this stuff. I don't understand. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the Philippines. They made me eat the Filipino food. Wherever I go, people are like, Lino, you got to try this. And I go, it's universally understood. I probably won't like it, Jeff. And then I feel like I'm insulting everybody. I don't want to eat crab. I can't tell you how much I don't want to eat crab. How do you even eat that thing?
Well, with your hands. I mean,
And I'm a germaphobe.
With your hands, and then also, you know, we have a little. Now we don't have a lot of cutlery here.
In
silverware.
New Orleans, or
just right here for today's show. We have a plastic knife, and this plastic knife is what you're going to use to get the fat out of the crab, you know? It's not that complicated. Look, we might even have some assistance here.
Okay, good. All right. Your wife has shown up. We don't have a microphone for her, unfortunately. But your wife has shown up, and I don't know what she's doing. It looks disgusting. There's no way I'm going to eat. You think I'm going to eat that? You're out of your mind.
Oh, you're going to love it, Lena.
Everybody's lost their mind. I'm going to get violently ill from this, aren't I?
Do you have water?
I have water. Okay, I got rum. I got rum and brandy over here. All right. All right, folks. I'm going to try to eat crab.
Yeah, well, that's actually just the fat of the crab, right?
But
right.
My cardiologist can't be happy about this.
Well, you know, fat doesn't make you fat, Lena.
But no, it blocks your arteries and kills you.
It depends on what kind of fat.
You're the Catholic foodie. What is the Catholic foodie? You're supposed to be bringing faith and food together.
Right. That's right. And the best way to do that is through comfort food. And down here, this kind of seafood is comfort food.
Is your theory about faith and food together that the more unhealthy you eat, the sooner you'll meet the Lord?
Hey, we could probably make a good argument about that. No?
Well, I think the argument is clear. If you're going to make me eat crab fat.
All things in moderation, right? We don't eat like this every day.
I don't eat like this any day.
I mean, it's Lundi Gras, you know? We're trying to celebrate here.
Can you think of a worse idea than Lundi Gras? Like, okay, Mardi Gras, in French, Mardi means Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
So Fat Tuesday is the day before Ash Wednesday. There's no such thing as Fat Monday.
It is. Here there is. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody just wanted to eat more.
But the thing is that in New Orleans, what you notice is that we can't do anything for just a day, and which is a very Catholic thing. You think about it. You know, you have Christmas. We have the Christmas day, but we also have the octave of Christmas. You know, the same thing with Easter. We can't do things. We do things in seasons. And down here, we do parties in seasons as well. And so King Cake is a perfect example. I had someone write to me last week and said, hey, Jeff, love your King Cake recipe. I made that the other day with my family. It was just perfect. We loved it. But I have a question for you. I'm not from Louisiana, and I understand, I'm Catholic, and I understand the fact that King's Cake or King Cake and King's Day or the Feast of the Epiphany, the three kings on January 6th, that I can see the link there. But how is that connected to Mardi Gras? And really, the only answer I could tell her was, well, we can't do anything here for a day. It's a season. And so it starts January 6th, and we just party all the way until midnight at Mardi Gras.
People are partying as we broadcast today's show in New Orleans. Floats are going by. Orpheus is the name of the crew, of the name of the parade that is happening right now. So people are throwing out beads. Marching bands are going on. And your host, Lino, is about to get violently ill from eating crab fat.
Oh, goodness.
All right, Jeff, I'll eat it.
You do
all
it. Right. Yeah, all right, we got
I'm not going to say a prayer
like
beforehand.
A drum roll or something?
No, because nothing is going, not even prayer is going to help me for this. All right. What does it taste like?
It tastes like boiled crab.
Well, I've never had boiled crab.
It tastes delicious.
All right. Give me this thing. All right. So you can explain to the audience what my face looks like.
That's what I was thinking. Should I do a picture, Lena, while you're...
Sure. You can do a picture, but also describe what my face contortions are, because I have a feeling this is going to be... I mean, it looks disgusting. It looks like baby vomit.
It does. It really does.
I don't like baby vomit. I don't know what you guys enjoy eating in New Orleans. I don't enjoy eating baby vomit. Well,
just close your eyes. It tastes
great. Doesn't matter if I close my eyes. I already saw it.
You should have closed your eyes before.
Well, then I couldn't. I should have stayed home. All right, let's try this. Here we go. All right.
And you know, if you wanted to listen to the whole show, the show that we actually recorded at Notre Dame Seminary, which I thought was fantastic, it was a great show that day. Both days were fantastic. You can listen to it even now, even though we're in Lent, it's online. It's on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search for either Lino Ruli or The Catholic Guy and look for the show that was done the day before Ash Wednesday. That would have been in February. I don't recall offhand the date. It was around the 16th, I believe. The 14th was a Saturday. So Saturday, 15th, 16th. This is the 17th. February 17th, the show that day is when he was here for Mardi Gras. And if you want a chuckle, if you want to laugh, listening to him try and sample like boiled crabs, and it was really a treat, really a treat. And then I want to highlight another event, something else that happened recently, and that thing is called the Catholic Conference for Moms. And if you were going to find this online, you would go to Catholic Conference for, like the number four, moms.com, Catholic Conference for Moms.com. Just a couple of weeks ago, the very beginning of March, March 6th to 9th, I participated as a presenter in an online conference for Catholic moms. It's called Catholic Conference for Moms. And this online conference brought together a host of awesome Catholic speakers to inspire and encourage Catholic moms in their vocations. Connie Rossini, Daria Saki, Rachel Balducci, Susie Lloyd, Tammy Kaiser, and many more. It was a joy, an honor, and a joy for me to participate in this conference. And my presentation was titled How You and Your Family Can Eat Your Way to Salvation, A Foodie's Guide. So that was quite a delight. The conference was free. It was free as it was going on from March 6th to 9th. And this was amazing because you had all these speakers presenting on topics that would inspire and encourage Catholic moms, and it was free. And you, each day you had a certain number of presentations that were going on, and you were free to access them at any point during the day at your convenience. And that went on for 4 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Now, once the conference was all said and done, it is now available for purchase. If you wanted to buy this conference, have access to it, you could download the videos if you want, or you could just look at them online if you prefer. Plus, there's a host of other bonuses that go along with this this conference. You could do so. The price of it is $39.99, and you can go to CatholicConferenceForMoms.com. You'll find all the information there. You could purchase it there. But the cool thing is that I actually have a promo code to give you that will give you $10 off. So you get all of that, all the conference presentations plus the bonuses for $29.99. It's a pretty good deal. And believe it or not, my little code, my discount code is Foodie. Quite appropriate, huh? Foodie. So if you go to CatholicConferenceForMoms.com and you purchase the conference and just put Foodie in the discount code area, you'll get $10 off. So it's a wonderful thing that you could do if you are yourself a mom. If you are not, and you either have a mom or you have a wife who is a mom, it's a great gift too. So check that out, CatholicConferenceForMoms.com, and remember that Four moms is the number four. All right. Finally, the fourth event I wanted to tell you about, because this is all stuff that's kind of, you know, big things that have been happening over the last few weeks for me, is Theology on Tap. I spoke at Theology on Tap in the Archdiocese of New Orleans last week. And again, it was a lot of fun to be there with young adults and talking about food and faith. And the title of that talk was How to Eat Your Way to Salvation, A Foodie's Guide. So it was kind of a takeoff on what I did for the Catholic Conference for Moms. And, you know, it really, a lot of it is what I've been talking about here at the Catholic Foodie, right? Bringing food and faith together. We looked at the Bible, we looked at salvation history, and I really did draw a connection where that title sounds sort of, I don't know, funny, maybe eye-catching, attention-getting, maybe even a little tongue-in-cheek, right? How to Eat Your Way to Salvation, A Foodie's Guide. But in reality, and as I broke it down and we looked at Scripture and then moved from Scripture into, you know, understanding of the sacraments and the role that the sacraments play in salvation history and how God relates with us and how God saves us, we come to see that that is in fact the case, right? How we eat our way to salvation, A Foodie's Guide. So that presentation is available there as part of that conference. And I am open to sharing that message with others as well. If you are looking for someone to speak on food and faith, to share stories about the Holy Land, I am available for speaking engagements of that sort. You can always contact me at jeff@catholicfoodie.com if you have any questions or if you want to discuss any events that we want to try to put on a calendar.
Ooh, love. True love, you heard him? You could not ask for a more noble cause than that.
Sonny, true love is the greatest thing in the world. Except for a nice MLT, mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich when the mutton is nice and lean and the tomatoes ripe. They're so perky. I love that.
Now, I mentioned in the beginning of the show that we're talking today about Chef John Besh and cooking good, right? Which is, again, a little play on words here. You know, the fact is that food and cooking yield good for both families and communities. And that's a common theme here at the Catholic Foodie. It's a fact that family meals shared around the table are healthy for both the individual and also healthy for the family. You know, over the years, I have interviewed folks and written articles about the many ways that food brings people together and how food can be used to further good causes in the community. You know, I'm thinking right now about world famous chef Leah Chase, who is 92 and a half, I believe is what she said. I think that's how she said it, 92 and a half, if I'm not mistaken. Leah Chase, who has cooked for presidents and princes, who says that all the world's problems can be solved around the table over a bowl of gumbo and a plate of fried chicken. And the table, you know, the table is a great equalizer. We all have to eat, and when we gather around the table to share a meal together, we gather as equals, and we really can solve together life's problems. I recall two interviews from a couple of years ago, one with Chef John Besh and the other with Chef Matt Murphy. Both of them remarked on how tight-knit the chef community is in New Orleans, how the chefs often come together to help each other, to work together to help a common cause. You know, one of the examples given in both those interviews was when Chef Matt Murphy was in the hospital, quite literally on his deathbed. He had somehow contracted a rare blood disease. This was back in 2009. The chefs of New Orleans rallied behind him, giving Chef Matt and his family moral support, but they also were able to come together to give financial support through a benefit fundraiser that they organized. So you have all these chefs who are doing what? They're doing what they can do, doing what they do to bring people together, which is cook. They cook food, which brings people together. And they did that in this one event, this big fundraiser event, to bring people together to support Chef Matt. And they did. And it was a huge success, a real help to Chef Matt and his family. Now, that's not the full story, though. The full story is, thankfully, right? Thank God, Chef Matt recovered. Not only did he recover, but he received a miraculous healing. And there's a story, I'll have to reference it in the show notes, where he tells that story and the miracles and the prayers that brought this miracle about through God's grace, where he was indeed miraculously healed. What an awesome testimony. What a great story. God is good. You know, this is just one example of chefs coming together. I remember helping out on a project a couple of years ago. I think this was in 2013, when they had the big typhoon that hit the Philippines. And I was able to help put together a website and help to organize an event in New Orleans. It was called Chef's Aid for the Philippines. And this is another example of the chefs coming together for a worthy cause, a good cause, where they are raising funds for a good cause through food, right? Bringing people together through food. Fantastic night. They had the best of the best as far as food goes, as far as cocktails, champagne, the works, because it was essentially throwing a big party. And people down here, at least down here, I don't know where you were from, if they like to do this, but people love to party. And so it was a very nice event, you know, not the dressing to the nines necessarily, but formal event. Where folks came together, they paid good money for tickets to be there. And that money went to supporting the people in the Philippines. Tremendous event, right? Tremendous event. So another example of how using food as a means of bringing people together for a good cause. You know, the same thing happens though. And I know you're probably like this too. We're in the middle of Lent. And today, matter of fact, it's a Friday in Lent. And what has happened? I know right down the road at my parish, I know what's happening. The Knights of Columbus are there frying catfish and shrimp and French fries, and they're making potato salad and they're making other salads, you know, and this is all for a good cause. It helps to fund the good works that they do throughout the year. But in addition to that, it also brings the parish family together where folks can come and spend the evening together. And, you know, when you're at church, you may not get to talk to people when you leave or when you first get there or whatever on a Sunday. And so something like this, these parish activities provide an opportunity for us to get to know each other better. It provides an opportunity to really to build community, to build family. And that's what it's all about. So this is something that happens on a routine basis. Knights of Columbus and parishes across the country in Fridays in Lent. And it's what? It is cooking for good. It is good cooking or cooking good, I should say. Now, you may be wondering why am I highlighting cooking for good? What is the big deal? Well, there's a couple of things, really. You know, as I mentioned earlier, this is what the Catholic food is all about. It's all about trying to inspire and encourage families to get back around the table, to get in the kitchen and cook together, and to get back around the table and to share those meals together, because that is something that is really connected to our sacramental experience at Mass, right? Of being the family of God around the table, where God himself is going to feed us with the finest wheat, where he's going to feed us with the bread of everlasting life, the bread of eternal life, which is a beautiful thing. And as families, God made us for communion. And communion happens around the table of the Eucharist at church, but it also happens in our families when we're together around the table, sharing life together, and hopefully inviting God into that. So that's part of it. But it's also because with the chefs that I talk to, I'm telling you, invariably, I interview them for the Around the Table Food Show. We talk about food and faith. We talk about what they do and their experience of cooking. And invariably, they always talk about their childhood. How did you get into cooking? What was it? Why are you a chef today? And they're going to talk about their childhood. They're going to talk about learning how to cook from family. Usually it's mama teaching them how to cook. Or sometimes it's grandmama, right? Grandma teaching them how to cook. And it's that experience of getting around the table, getting in the kitchen with their family and getting around the table with their family, and the importance that food played in those family events, whether it was just Sunday afternoon or whether it was some other kind of event that happened, the celebration of birthdays, whatever it may be. Those were the things that really stuck out in the minds of these chefs. And it was the catalyst that I think, help them to choose cooking as a profession, because they saw the joy and the happiness that food brought to them as a child and brought to their family. And it's something that they want to give to others. And that's why I'm so excited to share with you today the conversation I had with Chef Ronald Green last week. He is right now the recipient, the beneficiary of a scholarship that's put out by the Chef John Besh Foundation. It's called Chef's Move. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit about this scholarship right now. And the reason that I want to bring this to you now is because the application process is open right now. and applications are due March 31st, 2015. You may not be in New Orleans, but you may know somebody who is and somebody who could benefit from this. And I want to share this news. I want to spread this message and try to help you to understand and to see what's going on here in New Orleans, but also try to help folks who are in New Orleans, maybe in the food industry, who would like to participate or take part in or submit an application and perhaps win this scholarship to go to culinary school in New York City. The mission of the John Besh and the Bride Mayer Chef's Move, right? It's called the Chef's Move Scholarship Program. And it's put together or funded by Chef John Besh and Bride Mayer. The mission of the John Besh and Bride Mayer Chef's Move Scholarship Program is to diversify kitchen leadership by providing minority applicants the opportunity to train up and become leaders in restaurant kitchens and in their communities. Chef's Move provides two fully paid scholarships, one in culinary arts and one in pastry arts, to minority residents of the greater New Orleans area to attend the International Culinary Center in New York City. The nine-month program at ICC is followed by a two-month internship with the Besh Restaurant Group. Upon completion of the program at the ICC, the Chef's Move scholarship recipient will return to New Orleans to complete a paid internship at a Besh Restaurant Group restaurant. After the successful completion of the paid internship, the recipient will apply for a full-time job with a New Orleans restaurant outside of the Besh Restaurant Group. And here's what happens. This is what the scholarship includes. It includes full tuition, supplies, which includes your knives, uniforms, books, etc., housing for 9 months, a laptop computer and computer lessons, move-in assistance if you need help to get up there to New York and to move-in assistance, a grocery card, one Metro card, two-month paid internship with the Besh Restaurant Group upon completion of the program, job placement assistance while in New York City, and then mentorship from a Besh Restaurant Group chef. And here are the requirements. Requirements for applicants: they need to be African-American, Vietnamese, Hispanic, or other cultural minority, resident of the greater New Orleans area, a high school diploma or GED, and they have to be ready to submit all corresponding transcripts, 1 year experience minimum in a restaurant kitchen, or have graduated from a National Restaurant Association ProStar program, two professional letters of reference. Additional letters are both encouraged and welcome. They have to familiarize themselves with the ICC prior to the official interview, and they must complete and submit the application with supporting documents by March 31st, 2015. That's just about 10 days away. There's some conditions of the award. The first condition is that they need to raise $500 in pledges to demonstrate dedication to their own culinary education. And there's more details about that in the application form, which you can find at chefsmove.org. They have to apply and commit to a full-time job in the New Orleans area for at least 2 years and with a restaurant outside of the Besh Restaurant Group. So once they finish the internship, actually the culinary school part up in New York City, and they come back and they do the 2 month internship, after that they need to apply and get a job outside of the Besh Restaurant Group and work there for at least 2 years. Now here's what's amazing to me. This is what I love about this, is that Chef John Besh and Bride Mayer putting this thing together, the scholarship together, for the good of the community, not just for the good of the Besh Restaurant Group, right? They are taking folks in, training them, building them up, making them into, giving them a trade, a skill, an expertise, and then putting them into the community, right? The greater New Orleans area, so that they can bring good to everyone, not just the Besh Restaurant Group. And that, my friends, is very impressive to me. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I was very happy to get Chef Ronald Green on the phone this past week. And I want to share that conversation with you in just a moment. Very impressive, by the way, very impressive, because he's going to tell us about the program, about his story, how he got to where he is right now in New York City. But in addition to that, we talk a little bit about why he loves cooking to begin with, and where that love of cooking and of good food came from. And you're not going to be surprised. I think you're going to really like hearing his answers. It does come from his family, but it's really neat what he has to say. So let's take a short break right here. And when we come back, we'll be listening to my conversation with Chef Ronald Green.
Wow, something smells good. Those goodies in there. Granny Puckett, the goodie lady? My goodness, she makes some good goodies. She's got a thing. It's like cookies, shortbread chocolate icing between. It's good. It's very good.
Well, I'm so happy today we have a special guest joining us from New York, believe it or not. And we have Ronald Green with us, and he's going to tell us a little bit about this special program of the John Besh Foundation and what kind of role this thing has played in his life. Welcome, Ronald.
Hello. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well, doing well. So you're up in New York, huh?
Yes, I'm in cold New York, cold and rainy New York right now.
I'm telling you, these have had like record temperatures and snow and all kind of stuff recently, huh?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm a southern boy, so I'm not really used to this cold weather. And being out here, I've just been trying to adjust.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm loving it, though. I'm absolutely loving it out here.
That's fantastic. So you mentioned this, you're a southern boy. You're from the New Orleans area. And you grew up close to New Orleans?
Yeah, I grew up in Violet, Louisiana. It's right outside of New Orleans, about 10 or 15 minutes outside of New Orleans. And, you know, we all have the same culture, the same food. So, you know, we're part of the New Orleans heritage. You know, it's not that far, but we're all our own. We're in our own little county down there in Violet.
And there's probably a lot of fishing down there too, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I actually had dinner with John Besh last night, and we were talking about fishing and crabbing. Because I'm a country boy, and we fish and crabs and catch crawfish.
Oh, yeah. And it's getting to be about that time of the year, too.
Yes. The weather is perfect for like red fish and catfish. So that's one thing I'm going to miss right now, because we don't really have that kind of fish. We don't have redfish out here in New York, that kind of fish. We have a lot of sockeye.
Right.
And when I got out here, I'm like, what is sockeye? So I just trying to different. So playing with different fishes, seeing what I like.
I know. Frequently, I just feel like we're spoiled down here by the Gulf, you know? We have
so much.
It's just, it really is that sportsman's paradise in Louisiana. Just an overabundance, I think, of fresh seafood. We are really blessed.
Yes, I agree.
Now, right now, Ronald, you're up there in New York for a purpose, right? You're in school. You're in culinary school. And and how did this come about? What are you taking part in right now?
Right now, I'm taking part in the I won a scholarship, the Chef Smoke Scholarship, and it's a scholarship program that is for minorities. And basically, what Chef John is trying to do is diversify the kitchen and have more minorities lead the kitchen, and you know, open new doors so that they can have a chance at, you know, being leaders. So we can have a chance at being leaders, and it's a scholarship. You win this scholarship to the International Culinary Center. It's a really, really good school. Some of the deans are Bobby Flay, Chef Jacques Pepin, Jacques Torres, and a lot of great people that are deans at the school. And it's a 9-month program. You get full tuition, supplies, food, the uniforms, books. You get housing for 9 months. You get a computer, a grocery card when you first get out here, a Metro card. Actually, I didn't know what a Metro card was until I got here, and I'm like trying to get through the subway system. So you get job placements. It's a really great opportunity for people who want to, you know, advance in the culinary world and become, you know, more professional and, you know, get that education and the belt that you need to run a kitchen successfully.
Right. And this is, by the way, for folks, if you're just listening in, this program, Chef's Move, the application process is open right now, right? The application, process, yes, open right now until March 31st. So if anybody would be interested in this, they just need to go to, I'm sure they could just go to chefjohnbesch.com and
You can actually go to chefsmove.org, and it's right there. You just click on the link about the scholarship, and you can apply right there, chefsmove.org.
Awesome. Perfect. So you are in, when did you start the program?
I started the program in August.
In August. Wow.
Yes, I got here August 10th.
So you're like...
I started school that Friday.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How's it been?
The school is amazing. This whole experience has been so amazing. And actually, I really, really love New York.
Oh, yeah?
At first, I was kind of intimidated by it because it's so huge. And I'm like, okay, I may not be able to function down here catching the subway. But I have conquered it. I have become a true New Yorker when people ask you for directions and you can tell them where to go at. That's when you become a true New Yorker. So
that's cool.
I'm actually loving it out here. The school is amazing. They have amazing instructors who do not mind helping you and going over the work to ensure that you know what you're doing. And it's amazing. It's an amazing experience. And I just wish that everyone can experience it. If you're into culinary and if you love cooking, that that's your passion. You know, I just wish that everyone can have this experience, you know, and whoever the next recipient is, I'm quite sure they will love it too, just as myself and the past recipients.
And so when you're there, are you doing like a lot of cooking every day, or is there a kind of cooking and then also maybe, I don't know, restaurant management type mm-hmm. stuff or what do you have?
Well, during school, I go to school Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, and I'm in the night class. It's from 5:30 to 10:30. And from the minute you get into class, you're cooking.
Oh,
you're,
wow.
You're doing recipes, and it's very hands-on. It's not like you're just sitting there and they're just reading through textbooks. No, you're actually cooking, because when you become a chef, like, that's what you're going to be doing. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to be in the kitchen cooking, and it's going to be hot. You're going to get burned. And, you know, it's an experience that you need to get through, you know. And but we do have like a lecture moment where we go over the objectives for the day and go over the textbooks. And then after that, you're in the kitchen. When I first got out here, my first day of class, we made cookies. It was cookies, tarts, and dough.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so we made gingerbread cookies the first day. We made a sucre dough the first day. Mm. And that all led up to, you know, the next day, we did fillings for the sucre. They showed us how to, you know, roll out the cookie dough and, you know, make sure that everything is baked at a certain temperature and baked a certain way, because cooking is a science. So we have to learn the science part of it as well.
Right.
Well, so like everything you learn in the first day is going to go with you throughout the entire process of the school. Like the sucre dough, I thought when I finished that section, I said, okay, I'm done with that. So I'll be finished with the sucre. I can put this away. No, you got to take that sucre dough with you, because the next section, you're going to be doing other type of pitiful that you're going to need that same sucre recipe for. You know, it's everything combines together.
It's almost like one thing builds on another, you know?
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, you know, you're talking about this and talking about the cooking and spending time in the kitchen, and it just makes me wonder, like, how did you get into cooking to begin with?
I actually started cooking when I was probably 9 or 10, and I started watching my grandmother in the kitchen cooking, and my aunt, and they were like my big influences when I started cooking, and I wanted to just, you know, when I started, I wanted to do my own thing. You know, everyone like, oh, you should, I'm 6'1". And everyone like, oh, you should play football. You know, you should be in sports. You should do this. And I'm like, that's not what I want to do. I want to be in a kitchen, you know.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
I just started mainly watching my grandmother and my aunt cook. My mom wasn't huge on cooking, so I can't say that. I learned how to fry chicken from my mom, because she fried really good chicken.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as like those those hearty meals, my grandmother and my aunt, watching them and just getting, when I started to, you know, develop my own style of cooking, watching Julia Child. I love Julia Child. Oh, yeah. And the, her use of butter is just, I love it.
Me too.
Chef Paul Poudon. watching Chef Paul, his cooking technique, like the flavor profile of his food is just that intriguing me, because I love, from being from New Orleans, we love like flavor, like we love mm-hmm. that intense flavor, and watching him cook that way, you know, that, and that inspired me also. And my aunt, she introduced me to like seasonings and spices. So I would say the first thing I probably cooked was like lasagna and collard greens. So those were our basic things that we would cook, yeah. you know, on Sunday. My grandmother used to make red beans and rice and every Monday. So like watching her do those things, I kind of took from that and just started to do my own thing. And, you know, making my own. And I can say now that I think I'm a better cook than my aunt.
Yeah. You going to tell that to her?
No, I won't tell her that.
That's great. And you know,
she calls me every now and then for techniques.
Oh, she does? Oh, man. Yeah. But that's the thing. Like you're saying, you know, you learned it from family. And I mean, what were meals like when you were growing up? I mean, you know, you had big family get-togethers and a lot of cooking or what?
Yes, like my family, we love to eat, and food, I think for every family, food is like the centerpiece, is what brings everyone together, you know,
right.
And it makes everyone happy. And our food, the family meals will always be so much food. That's all I remember, is a lot of food. Like Thanksgiving would just be a spread of food. And that carry over to me, because I'm the oldest of five. I'm a twin. And we're the oldest. I'm the oldest of five children mm-hmm. of my mom's. And so, like, I'm used to cooking big meals. And
right.
so when I got to New York, I'm like, okay, I have to learn how to cook, you know, smaller portions. You know, because I'm married. I have two kids. And so I'm trying to, it was so hard for me to, like, try to fix small meals, because I'm so used to making big a lot of food.
Yeah.
And tomorrow I was telling, like, why you cook so much food? I'm like, because this is what I'm used to. So I would call, you know, friends, and I'm always, anybody knows me know that if they come to my house, they're gonna eat.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, they're gonna eat, and they can eat with however much they want, because there's plenty. And when I got to New York, I'm trying to figure out how I'm gonna fix small portions. So me being me, I still make the same amount.
Oh yeah.
And so I've been feeding the whole dorm since I've been here. Like I'm the most popular person in the dorm, because everybody knows where the food is going to be at.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. And this past Thanksgiving, I had me and a couple of guys from the dorm, you know, everybody's not from New York, that lived in a dorm. So everybody's from all over the world. And so I just wanted to do something, you know, that can break us together, since they don't have their family, you know, here. And so I just cooked the feast. Literally, we all chipped in and put in some money. And I made turkey. I did ham, cornbread dressing, collard greens, candy yams, macaroni and cheese, potato salad, two potato pie. Like, I made a feast, and I did all of this by myself. And the funny thing is, the dorm, we only had one stove. And so we had one stove, so I had to kind of break up the things that I was going to do within 2 days. So that Wednesday night, I did some prep work, and I did some things that could be done and held out. Mm. And then on Thursday, I was like up at like 5 a.m. trying to make sure I was the first one in the kitchen to get everything done.
Oh man!
But it was so much fun. We had so much food, and they really enjoyed it.
See, that's the amazing thing to me. And I see this over and over again. You know, I see that the people who love to cook, right, who become chefs, and not even, mm-hmm. I mean, chefs, yes, but even folks who are just really prolific cooks, you know, chefs or home cooks, you know, this mm-hmm. is almost like a trend. You see the same thing happen. And where do they get this from? It was really from family. And it was from the experience of good experience, positive experience of family meals together and of there being really good food, which, as you said earlier, it brings people together, you know? It's almost like the centerpiece of the table. And that's just such a beautiful thing. I'm so glad that that you said that. So when you love to cook, and so you wanted to start, I guess, as a career, you wanted to cook in a restaurant. How did you start out? What did you do?
When I started working when I was probably 14. I started at McDonald's, and I worked there, and I was trying to get into the grill area, but they wouldn't let me get into the grill area.
Oh.
They're like, oh, you got to work the drive-thru. I'm like, okay. And so I worked there for about a few months, and after I couldn't get in the grill area because they had people that, you know, seniority over me, so they were in the, they had the grill lot. So I'm like, okay, I'm not getting in the grill, so I'm gonna move on and find me another job where I can be amongst the food.
Right.
So I ended up going to like Popeyes, and I was like, yes, I get the fried chicken. I'm gonna learn how to fry chicken. And so every job I had, I wanted to be by the food. And when I got older, I worked at Whole Foods, and I learned so much. Different nationality foods, like different cultures and how to cook different meals. And they used to come whenever we had like I'd work the global bar. And whenever we had like different foods to cook, I would always cook like the Chinese food or the Indian food. And so my boss would be like, you must have a little Chinese man in you, or you must have a little Indian man in you, because this food is so good. It tastes like the real deal. I'm like, it is the real deal.
Yeah.
And I ended up going to Loretta's Pralines in New Orleans on Frenchman Street, and making praline candies and cakes. And that's when I fell in love with doing like cakes. And so I was like, okay, I want to, you know, tap into pastry. And so I just started doing my own research on pastry and working with fondant and working with, you know, gum paste. And I started to do cakes in house and inside my house. And that's when I realized that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do pastries. And everybody thought that I'll be into culinary, you know, doing cook food, but I'm like, no, like pastry just sparked a fire in me, and it just made me like, this is what I really want to do. This, like, pastry, desserts make people really, food makes people happy, but dessert makes people, you know,
really
happy. You know?
That's right.
So you get somebody a cookie or a cake, and they're your best friend for life. So that's when I realized that, yeah, this is, pastry is what I want to do. And that I've just got into pastry, and I loved it ever since.
That's amazing. And so you made this application, you filled out this application for the Chef's Move program. And what was that like? What was the application process like? What'd you have to do?
Well, actually, I'll tell you this right quick, Jeff. I wanted to apply for the scholarship when it first came out in 2011, but my wife had just had our daughter, and so I was like, it wasn't a good time at that moment. And I'm like, I can't leave. You know, she just had a baby. I can't leave. You know, I want to be around and help her out, you know, with the baby and everything. So then the opportunity came again this year. Well, which was last year. And my wife was like, go for it. You know, you deserve it. You know, you wanted to do it before, and, you know, I support you, and, you know, go for it. And so I talked to my mom and her mom, and everybody was behind me 100%. And because I wanted to make sure that she would have as much help as possible, because, I'm her backbone and she's my backbone, and we help each other out 100%. And so I didn't want to make sure that with me being gone, that she was going to have that help. So my family was behind us 100%, and they helped us out a whole lot. And so she was like, go for it. So when I applied, I just really just put my everything into my, I was just honest with myself and with the application process, to get the right, you know, when you started cooking, and, you know, why you love cooking, why you love doing what you do, and, you know, why you're passionate about it. And it was an amazing experience to go through that process and to really reflect on my life and to write down these things, you know, when I started, what made me start cooking. And you don't realize, you know, how much of an impact your family play on, you know, your life and the thing that you choose to do as your profession, you know, and being encouraged by so many people, it just was like, wow. You know, when I saw that on paper, I'm like, You know, it's all, you know, making sense now, you know.
Wow.
It's full circle to me right now. And so I knew that I was going to win the scholarship. I just knew, you know, I prayed on it. I'm like, you know, this is my time. This is my season to do this. And, you know, I just had a feeling that I was going to win. And when I did my trial at Restaurant August with Chef Kelly, and she was like, you know, I like you, you know, and so I'm like, I like you too. You know, I it's just all about being yourself. And when I met Emery and Lauren and Julie and Gabby, you know, they all said the same thing about me. You know, they're like, you know, you're so full of light, you know, and, you know, I'm like, thank you. You know, I try to be that person that, you know, makes people smile. And, you know, that's my personality. I try to brighten up a dim room. You know, and the process was amazing. Going to the interviews with them, and doing the trails and being in the kitchen, and you know, it was just an amazing process. I wouldn't change it for the world.
That's amazing. And Ronald, when you're probably what, over halfway through the program now. So when is this end for you?
Today is today actually is. Starts level 3. This is my last level. I'm finished in June. June 8th is my last day.
And what are your plans at that point? You come back to New Orleans and what?
Yeah. I'm going to come back to New Orleans, and I'm going to work through a couple of the John Best restaurants just to get a feel for different kitchens and different chefs, and just, you know, learn different techniques from different chefs, because that's the thing. You want to learn wherever you go. So I just think that, you know, each restaurant I'll filter through, where I will learn something. And then I can take that and then, you know, go to, let's say, Emeralds or, the, you know, another place, and just strive and do the best that I can do. And my ultimate goal is to open up my own business and be a part of this foundation and give back to my community and get back to this foundation, because that's what I truly want to do, open up my own business and just help people the way that this foundation helped me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you know, it's funny because, you know, you have this passion, you want to make people happy with food, with pastries. And the good thing about New Orleans is that New Orleans loves its chefs. we're very dedicated to our chefs. We're very dedicated. So, well, that is awesome. Thank you so much, Ronald, for joining me today and giving us a little bit about this awesome program. I mean, Chefs Move, and you were right. I double checked it. The website is chefsmove.org. And so anybody who's listening who would be interested in learning more could go there. I think the application is there on the website. And also, if you're on Facebook, you can find out more about Chefs Move by going to facebook.com/chefsmove. Ronald, thank you so much. Yes. Best to you family. I really appreciate you joining me today.
Yes, thank you. And if anyone wants to see any of my pictures from school, they can go on my Instagram, StarChef28, or my Facebook, Chef Ronald Green, and they can check out my experience out here in New York, you know, and you can see firsthand what I do, because I post everything that I do, because I want to share that with people so that they can see, you know, this is real. You know, if he can do this, I can do this too. You know, so I just encourage anyone who has a passion for cooking to go out and apply for it and, you know, go for it.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Ronald. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you too, Jeff.
Here's a way you can be creative on a daily basis. Well, how else in your life can you actually create new things every day? And you have to eat. This is the thing we all agree on.
If you're going to eat 3 times a day to the day that you die, why not be good at it?
Well, I want to thank Chef Ronald Green for joining us again. It was such a delight to speak with him, and I can't wait to meet him in person when he comes back down here to New Orleans. Very exciting indeed. If you want to find out more or connect with him, you can do that, as he already mentioned, on Facebook. Just search for Chef Ronald Green, or go to facebook.com/Chef Ronald Green, or on Twitter, you can find him at StarChef28. Thanks again, Chef Ronald. It was a pleasure to speak with you. And finally, I want to tell you something I'm just very excited about and kind of just publicly say thank you to someone. You know, just this past week, Matt Maher, if you like music, Matt Maher, who is a recording artist, released a new album. And it's kind of weird that we still call those things albums. Remember, I remember what albums really were. They were, you know, records, it seems. Anyway, a new album called Saints and Sinners. And I have to tell you, I just wanted to publicly thank Matt for producing his music. You know, God obviously gave him a gift for singing and for playing musical instruments. But Matt gives God and us a gift in playing music and making music. And I have to tell you, I just love this new album. I love all of his music. I'm a fan. But I find it just very inspiring to me personally, and it really helps me to connect with God, to pray. And I've been trying to get back in shape over the last few months, and Matt Maher has been with me on that. At least his music, he's really helped me to turn my exercise, to turn my workouts, and even sometimes chores that I have to do around the house or errands that I have to run. He really helps me to make those things into a prayer. And he does that through his music. And just beautiful. You can find his music on iTunes. You could find it. I'm sure there are other places where you can, if you don't use iTunes, you could download it, purchase it, download it in other locations or even buy CDs, whatever it may be. But Matt Maher, Saints and Sinners, fantastic album. I highly recommend it. And thank you, Matt. Thank you for producing the music that you produce. It's a tribute or a glory. Gives God glory. It's a tribute to God who gave you that gift. But it's also a gift to us. And I just want to say thank you for that. So that's it, folks. We are at the end of the show. I want to thank you for listening. If you have any feedback for me, you can contact me at jeff@catholicfoodie.com via email, or you can call the listener feedback line. You can leave me a message there that I could play on the show. The number is 985-635-4974. 985-635-4974. You can leave me voice feedback there. I can play on the show. I love getting voice feedback. So if you have any questions, comments, whatever about food, faith, Holy Land, Lebanese cooking, whatever it may be, you can contact me there. And until next time, bon appetit.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.